Good morning and happy Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Since we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord, as Christians, brothers and sisters, we definitely should love one another, isn't it right? So we could say, I love you on this Valentine's Day to one another. So this is what I'm saying, I love you. I'm so glad to be with you, to see every one of your face today. The subject of wrath of God is a very unusual one for this time of the year. But I've been meditating upon this one for a couple months. And I'd like to share with you this sermon, the wrath of God. First of all, let me ask you, are there any things in your life that you are afraid of, you fear? Maybe the fear of heights, maybe the fear of confined space. For some of our young people, it may be the fear of getting a D, or, correction, fear of not getting an A and go home to face your parents. Or it may be the fear of loneliness, the fear of insecurity, maybe the fear of death. But some of these fears are good, as you know, may know. We shrink from a fire and not get hurt. Some fears are curable, like the fear of height. And some fears are actually good for us. Some fears are beneficial to us. And I'd like to suggest to you, the fear of the Lord is what we all need to have. We need to fear the wrath of God. I'll explain. The wrath of God is very different from the wrath of men. We all need to be afraid of the wrath of men. The wrath of tyrants, the wrath of some unreasonable people. Well, there's a story you may have heard about Alexander the Great. He is the world's greatest warrior. He conquered the then known world, all of Europe and most of Asia. But he could not control his own fear, his own wrath. One time after a victory, there was a victory party, and everybody was drinking. And one of his right-hand men, a great general, was completely intoxicated. And he said some words of abuse to Alexander the Great. And in great anger and quick as lightning, he grabbed one of the javelins of the soldiers and hurled at this general. He only intended to scare him. But his aim was so good, it went right through his heart. A quick action of anger. After the anger subsided, he was in deep remorse. He was so sorry for what he had done. He lay in bed for 3 days and three nights and couldn't sleep. And he blamed himself as the murderer. One time he wanted to kill himself, but his men stopped him from doing that. The great emperor, Alexander the Great, he could not control his own anger. What about the wrath of God? It is different? Is it hasty or slow? Is it violent or gentle? Is it randomly applied, or God has an aim? Well, the Bible has the answer. There are many references in the Bible about the wrath of God, you know? There are many references about wrath as well as love. And in particular, the book of Romans and the book of Psalms. You have read some of them today, earlier. The wrath of God, let's turn to the next slide. I forgot to tell you. Oh, I have it here, forgot. Alexander the Great, okay, slow. And then go to the next. I will talk about three different points. The three points, first about God's wrath. And without talking God's mercy in conjunction with God's wrath will be wrong. So the next point is God's mercy. And then the third point is our application, how we respond to that. These two verses that you have read earlier, I'd like for us to read again because there are some important points, very important points in relation to. Okay, let's read Romans 1:18 and then Romans 2:8 after that, okay? Go. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be anger. Okay, we learned from our Sunday school classes that God is merciful. God is love. We seldom hear about God has wrath, and his wrath applied to human mankind. The correct answer from God is he does have wrath. The verses that we have read, wrath of God is very real. Wrath of God is perhaps the most terrible thing that could happen. The wrath of God, we cannot imagine what the magnitude and the degree of God's wrath, because he is holy. He is all righteousness. He is pure. How could God stand sin? How could God tolerate the world full of sin? He cannot. So God is a wrath is applied to humankind who are godless and wicked and suppress God's truth. How can God tolerate those people that are self-seeking and reject the truth of God? The answer is no, God cannot. He must apply his wrath to sin by his own nature of holiness. Maybe you have heard of this name, Jonathan Edwards. I do not refer to Jonathan Edwards of the 21st century. Jonathan Edwards of 1740 in that area. He is both a great statesman, theologian, and wonderful preacher. Perhaps it's known in the Christian circles that he has preached the greatest sermon in American history. He preached a sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, this document of 15 pages is archived in the Yale Library. There's a Yale Center for Jonathan Edwards. And if you go there, you'll see this wonderful sermon. Jonathan Edwards, this sermon contains material describing the God's anger poured out against the people, God's wrath applied to the sinners. Of course, it also tells how God withhold his anger for the time being. This sermon lasted about 75 minutes. And when he was preaching, thousands of people hear him. The people say, "What can we do to be saved?" And Jonathan pleaded to them, "Flee from sin. flee from the wrath of God, and God will save you. So thousands of people came forward to be saved. Today, in the Christian church, you hardly hear about hell, fire, brimstone. It's not a popular subject to talk about. In fact, people say that this is a civilized world today. There's no sin anymore. Can you believe that? They say that the world has evolved and become advanced. We are living in an area we know everything. And in fact, there's no hell, no punishment. The discussion, actually, that they leads nowhere. It gives them an excuse not to think about serious subjects about eternity. When you think about God's authority, you think about God's holiness, how can God not punish sin? It's not possible. So the answer is God does have wrath. At the same time, people begin to not use the word sin anymore. And they say, well, I'm well educated. I do not do or go out and murder somebody. I do not commit adultery. I do not steal from somebody. I don't think I am a sinner. I'm sure you have heard about people giving you this kind of answer. I'm not a sinner. Well, there's a surprise answer from the Bible. The Bible is here already, Matthew 5. This comes from the word of the Lord Jesus himself, and perhaps you have heard about this passage. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. All right, we understand. But Jesus said, I tell you that anyone who looks upon a woman lustfully, and this also applies to the ladies, you who look upon a man lustfully, has already committed adultery in your heart. This standard is the different standard by which we go by. We go by what has been done, the outward things. We go by the deeds. But look at this verse. Jesus said, I judge you by what's inside, what's in your heart. If you have hate, it's like murder. If you have lust, it will be equivalent to adultery. That's God's standard to us. Well, with this understanding, God's standard is absolute. God's standard we cannot meet. None of us can meet God's standard. Can you honestly say that you have never hated anyone? Can you honestly say that you have not looked on some pornography and lust? The answer is no. We cannot meet God's standard. We cannot meet his requirement. And this is defined by God as S-I-N, capital letters, sin. This is the nature in our hearts to sin. It's not the deed. It's inside our nature. This is God, what God hates. By the way, the sin nature inside our heart generates greed, lust, pride. This causes us to to commit the deeds of sin. So God's wrath is applied to both the nature of sin, nature to sin, and the deeds of sin. So God is very fair. He applied these both to us. I have to go to point number two, because point number one, I'm sure, make you very depressed. Point number two, God's mercy. There are some good news here. Romans 5:9, could you read with me? Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we? Thank you. We can be saved from God's wrath. This process can be reversed. It's not final. This is the reason Christ has to come to this world. He came 2,000 years ago. He was here. He ministered to all the needs of the people. He preached the gospel of the good news. He healed the sick. He served as a servant. He gave us an example of what God is like. But what is his most important work in this world? Not the healing. Of course, it's good. His most important task that he came was to die on the cross, on the cruel cross. He shed his blood, because without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. His blood is a substitution for our sin. He shed it. Just like the Old Testament sacrificial lamb that was slain and the blood was shed, it was for the sins of the people. So in the New Testament, when Christ shed his blood, it was for yours and my sin. Christ died on the cross that you and I may be forgiven, that you and I may live a new life, that you and I may be covered by his mercy. Now let's review a couple of verses from Psalms. This Psalm verse describes to us the balance of God's wrath, that is his mercy. Let's look at what it says. Psalm 86:15. Let's read together. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. 35. But anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Look at these two precious verses of our Lord. He's describing to us that wickedness and sin does have to be punished. He hates it. He cannot tolerate it. But by his nature, he is full of mercy. He would like to see the wrath would not apply to us. He would like to see that lifted from our burden, because he is compassionate. He's gracious. Now listen to this. He is slow to anger. What does that mean? He's very, very patient. He has infinite degree of patience. You and I have very little patience. We get annoyed maybe after an hour. Maybe if you're a real patient person, maybe after a few hours, you're annoyed. But his patience is so infinitely great that he will wait upon it. He will wait upon. The good story this morning, our brother Michael was leading us in the Sunday school about the prodigal son. Actually, I have included in this in Luke 15. This famous painting described the prodigal son. He came to his father and said, "I'm not worthy to be your son. Will you please accept me as one of your lowly servants?" After everything that he has done, he's deep in sin. He returned. He came back to his father. His senses came back. His father, "I'm not worthy to be your son." What did his father do? Look at this picture. His father embraced him in great love. His brothers, his father received him. He said, "I'm so joyful today. My son who was dead, now is alive, was lost, now he is found." So this is the heart of our Heavenly Father. He is so patient. He waited for a long, long time, years. This prodigal son went and wasted all the money that he got from his father, half of his fortune. He wasted. And he came back. His father received him. This is God's patience. He received his son that returned to him. So the reality is, God is merciful. He will give us warning. His anger will last for a short time. And he also provides a way for us to escape. He provided a way for us so that we would not be under his wrath. You also remember this story. Abraham's cousin, Lot, they dwell in the cities, the great cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They lived in sin. The sin was so bad in those two cities that God has to punish. God cannot tolerate anymore. And if you read the Old Testament, you see some of the description of the sin of those days. Just one thing that struck me, homosexuality, was so commonly practiced. It's a day-by-day affair. Everybody in the city was doing it. God has to punish that sin. But he wants to save, provide an escape for whoever that will flee from that wrath. And he actually, literally, Lot was not willing to leave. He literally had to hold his hand and drag them out. Lot, his wife, and his children. God gave them an escape from the fire, from the punishment, from the awful picture that we're seeing. Well, I'm reminded of a wildfire in California. It was started, they said, was by a young kid who was playing with fire on the dry hills of California, and it started to catch fire. If he had extinguished that fire, poured water over it, it would not have happened. It consumed thousands of acres of land, hundreds of houses, property, and lives were lost. Firemen that tried to put out the fire, they died in the fire. Flee from fire. Flee from danger. Escape. Put out the fire. God provided the escape. He wants us to give us plenty of time to repent and escape from the fire. The last point, Point number three, how shall we respond to God? What is the application to this grim lesson that I talk about? Yes, God has wrath. Yes, He's merciful. But what do we do with this? For those, there may be a few in our midst that are on the verge, that have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's wrath is like the Hoover Dam. The water behind the dam is building up higher and higher and higher until one day there's a breach, there's a crack, and the water will pour down like a great flood with great fury and power. But God is holding that dam back for you. God is withholding His punishment so that you may repent and come to Him. Do not wait for that dam to break. God's fury will pour upon you. So come to God. Come to the Lord Jesus. He said, I wait. I wait. I knock on your door. I knock on the door. I'm standing at the door and knocking, knocking. If you hear, if anyone hears my voice and open the door, what will he do? He'll come right in. He will come into your heart. And that's not all. He will sup with you. You will enjoy His intimate presence in your life. He will be with you till the end. He will never leave you, forsake you. He wanted this kind of relationship with you if you just open your heart to Him. So today, if you have not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, don't close that door. Open it for Him. And I'm sure Pastor Jeff, Elder Leo, and myself will be glad to talk to you at the end of the service. You will just come to talk to us. Do not wait. But for those of you, I'm sure that's the majority of us here, we have received Jesus as our Savior already. We have been saved. How does this lesson apply to us? Should we still fear the wrath of God? We should not fear anymore in this sense. When we're saved forevermore. Look at what God has promised. Jesus Himself has said this most precious verse, I give them eternal life, give us eternal life, that we shall never perish. No one can snatch them from His hand. His powerful hand, no satanic power can take us away from God's hand. You're saved, you're safe forevermore. But shall we still have fear of God? Earlier, I suggested the fear of God is necessary and healthy. Shall we still fear God? We fear God in a different way. I call it holy fear, or wholesome fear, or healthy fear, whatever you want to call it. It's a different kind of fear. With this fear, we have showing a great respect and great awe for the God's holy name. We're afraid to displease Him, to dishonor Him, to cause Him to shame. That's what we're afraid of. We're careful in how we live, how we conduct ourselves every day of our life. We're careful to because out of fear for him. And we, by fearing him, we do not alienate him, separate him from us. By fearing him, actually, we draw nearer to him. We draw close to him. We will be living a life to love God, living a life to glorify God, to bring love to the people around us. We will lead truly what the Bible describes as abundant life. And this is the way to Christian maturity, by living each day in fear of God, the holy fear, the healthy fear. No doubt you have heard this verse, and it's very true. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Please commit this to your heart, to your memory. Now, lastly, let me summarize. God's wrath is applied in this world in the right degree. God's wrath does have apply, but in the right degree. It lasts only for a moment, but his grace, his mercy lasts forever. God's wrath is applied in the right way, with plenty of mercy and patience. God's great wrath is applied for the right reason, to bring about our repentance so that we may hurry up and come to know him. God's wrath is applied to the right person, to those who rebel against him, who sin against him. God's wrath is applied for a very good reason, for we who believe in him, that we may heed his word, that we may enjoy abundant life while we are still on earth. This is the wrath of God. He's applied the wrath with a true measure of grace. And we should be very thankful in this time of Valentine's Day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you because your truth cannot be sugar-coated. Your truth cannot be modified. It is permanent. It's absolute. It lasts forever. And your truth tells us that you have wrath. You pour out your wrath against the sin of this world. But in your love, in your grace, in your mercy, you apply this slowly. You apply this gently. And you provide us with a way out. So we thank you that we can receive this wonderful gift of your wrath. Because without wrath, we will be completely wild. Thank you. Thank you for your gift to us. Thank you for all your love to us every day of our life. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.